today on Real Radio.
So wait. I am a Christian, but I hate that guy. You can't do that. You can be a Christian and hate that guy to the point where the Holy Spirit says, hey, let's get that fixed now. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Let's work on that. And you know what? God gives you victory over the hatred you have for that guy. See, all of us have hatred inside here, but we've got to deal with it in the Spirit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Key to Spiritual Victory, Part 2, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 5 today, verses 19 through 26. We cannot be saved from our sins by just doing good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. In part 1 of The Key to Spiritual Victory, the Apostle Paul urges the believer to listen to and to obey the Holy Spirit so that we can experience a life of holiness as God is holy. Now here in part 2, Paul will describe the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. We often feel like we are losing instead of advancing, so how do we keep moving forward in victory? Our spiritual victory comes when we decide to let God take control of everything in our lives. And now, continuing his lesson called The Key to Spiritual Victory, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And by the way, if you're not enjoying it, it's because you're not doing it God's way. I don't care whose fault is what and where. You do it God's way, you're going to be happy. Very, very happy. Adultery. God says here in the book of Galatians, a person who is practicing adultery, they're not going to go to heaven. That's what he says. Did you commit adultery in the past? Let me ask you this question. Please don't raise your hand. Did you commit adultery in the past? I want to ask you this question. Is it in the past? Then praise the Lord. Did you repent of it back then? Praise God. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed his sin from you. This sin as well. He says, I'll take your sin and I will cast it into the depths of the sea. Today, when we baptize people in the Pacific blue, up they come. They can't, you know what? In a metaphorical sense, their sins fall down into the depths of the sea. And God puts a no fishing sign over that location. Never to come back again. Did you fall down before? The main question I should be asking, are you currently in adultery? You better stop now and figure out if you're saved, for one thing, because Paul says this conduct is not of a saved person. I told you I didn't want to deliver this message. People are saying, what's going on? He's looking right at me. I can't even see you. The lights are so bright, I can't even make out a face. But this is important stuff. Adultery. Fornication is the next word. Are you ready for the Greek word? You already know it. Porn. The Greek word is pornea. It's where we get the word pornography. Need I elaborate? Although the word means in Greek, any sin against the marriage, any sin against a single person. It encompasses both camps as well. In anything that falls under the category of pornographic, it could be conversation. Certainly photos or images, as the pagans, you know, they used to worship images. That was their pornography. They didn't have the internet, so until the internet came, they had little idols that they would carve in pornographic conduct, and then they would worship. You say, well, boy, those guys are sure freaky. Well, many people have altars in their home to foreign gods. And they're in Technicolor. And they're on a screen. Pornea. It's destroying life. The word also means homosexuality, prostitution, both male and female. The seduction of children And I hate to even say this next word, but yet that's what it means, bestiality. Adultery, fornication. Next word, uncleanness. This is not the forgetting to wash behind your ears. This is uncleanness. It means sexual contamination, sexual activity that leads to sickness or pollution. I don't have time to get into it. Boy, I wish I did, though. Remember Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. C. Everett Koop? He's a Christian man, you know. He and Francis Schaeffer wrote the book, Whatever Happened to the Human Race? You ought to read the book. You ought to read anything by Dr. C. Everett Koop. It's in one of his books that C. Everett Koop says, a person needs to realize something, that when they have sexual intercourse with someone in exchange of fluids, be it male or female, that person deposits within the other person a biological track that must run its course up to a 7-year period of time per sexual encounter. That means if you have an encounter with somebody once in 1 year, their biology is in you doing its havoc for at least 7-year period of time. Though they may be long gone. Biology, science. Paul in the book of Romans says, when someone has sexual immorality with another person, and especially the areas of Romans chapter 1, the Holy Spirit there warns that when a man has sex with a man or a woman has sex with a woman, it says that they receive within themselves the due recompense of their error. Say, what does that mean? It means they receive internally a mark. It leaves a mark in a biological sense. Any of you doctors or nurses know this already, that you can take a blood test from somebody and take that blood and perform certain tests, and you can find that within the last 72 hours if that person has been with someone sexually. Did you know that? Male or female? It's in the blood. Isn't it funny? We're looking at a 2,000-year-old book that warns us that sexual promiscuity leaves a mark inside of the person, and it's called uncleanness. Isn't God a great scientist? By the way, off the track, but did you hear about the Georgia public school system said that we are now going to consider bringing the teaching of creationism into school because evolution has too many flaws and too many problems with it, that maybe creationism is the answer? Isn't that awesome? That's a great thing. Lewdness. The word lewdness is next. Excessive sensuality. I want to underline the word excessive. God made you a sensual person. Did you know that? That's not a sin. He made you a sensual person. It's to be conducted in the right arena. Excessive sensuality, the word lewdness, is perversion, sex worship. It's all you can think about. It's all you think about. Watch out, because, again, the book of Romans warns that you can be given over to that. God will let your mind go debased, it's called, where that's all you're consumed with. Pervert is where we get this word from. A perversion, a pervert. The uncontrolled desires of a person in a sexual manner, the word means, to be obsessed with anything sexually suggested. It's tremendous, isn't it? The Christian's enemies, not only are before us, listen, verse 20 teaches us that they're ugly and they're alluring. How can something be ugly and alluring at the same time? Are you ready for the answer? We already know the answer. We all know it. Something can be both ugly and alluring because it can be justifiable. It can be justifiable. We switch now from the sexual sins to two religious sins. Religious sins. Number one, idolatry. Idols. The word here, idolatry, means to bow down toward a statue, an icon, a picture, any sort of a icon whatsoever, in an act of worship. It's also translated that which you spend your mind efforts upon that result in actual practice, idolatry. If all you can think about is a certain thing, that's all you live for is that thing, and that's all your meaning in life is that thing, it's an idol in your life. God says, anyone who's consumed with anything other than me will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, God says. You're not going. You're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. If you're practicing fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, if that's your life, you're not going. Well, yeah, but I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Can you be a Christian bank robber? All right, everybody, drop to the floor. I want you to know I'm ripping up this bank and all the money's going to be used for the work of the Lord. It's impossible. Can you be a Christian prostitute? Think how stupid that is. Oh, you know, sex for God. What? No, you know what? You can be a prostitute who's now a Christian. You could have been a bank robber who's now a Christian. Okay? But you can't be a Christian bank robber. And you can't be a Christian thief. You can't rob your neighbor and leave a little note saying, you know, God bless you. It's impossible. And we laugh because we know it's impossible. But isn't it funny how even perhaps in this room, and this is where it's going to get really quiet, and don't anybody move because you'll indict yourself. I won't. You will. You know what? I think I can do this thing and still be a Christian. And I want you to know, you've told that to yourself. You didn't get that from the Bible. Okay? Now, did you fall at some point in time to adultery? Or were you a prostitute? And I use it in the past tense. Guess what? Your sin's forgiven you. And you can move forward with God. It's called salvation. But are you trying to mix a life that's aberrant to Christianity and call yourself a Christian? Paul's just making it very clear. Don't be fooled. Don't trick yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Two religious sins. Four sexual, two religious. They're ugly and alluring, these two. Idolatry, which is the breaking of the second commandment, by the way. And sorcery. Sorcery, what is that? Are you ready for this? The Greek word is pharmakei. It's where we get the word pharmaceutical. Pharmacy means drug use. Drug use specifically in the area to alter your life's existence. I know somebody who is now a wonderful Christian, powerful Christian man, who, by the way, in his drug trips that he would take, he would see very many spiritual things in his drug, his acid trips. One trip was so horribly bad, he saw these demons and all this stuff. He came out of his trip and accepted Jesus Christ, and he's been walking with God ever since. And that's been like 30 years ago. That's powerful. Pharmakei, sorcery. Interesting, it's connected to witchcraft. Some of your Bibles translated as witchcraft. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10, mark it down. Deuteronomy 18, 10, if anyone presents his child to be burned or to be offered up as a human sacrifice, this person must be put to death, God says. No one who practices magic, this is not cards, this is supernatural, demonic magic. One who calls up demonic spirits for aid, who's the guy on TV? Now there's two of them. The battle of their demons, these guys. One who calls up demonic spirits for aid or for insight into the realm of the spirit world, howbeit they be a charmer, a medium, or a wizard, or anyone who calls forth beyond the grave to the spirits of those now dead. Anyone doing these things is an abomination to God and is an object of his wrath and judgment. It is because of such things that are done among the pagan nations that God will drive them out from before you. And now we have a big thing on TV. People watch this guy. The guy's like a hero to people. It's demonic. He says he hears voices, though. I believe him. I really believe him. They're demonic, satanic. It is Satanism dressed up in the most modern clothing and garb. The Bible condemns it. Why? Because it's real. Not because it's fake. Idolatry and sorcery. Verses 20 to 21, these sins that are listed here, they're regarding human relations, interpersonal relationships. Hatred, mark it. Hatred, it means division among people to the point of bitterness. I hate him. I can't stand him. Watch out. It means that if bitterness takes root in your heart and it stays there, it means that you never belonged to God in the first place. It means you don't know him. If that's in your heart, you must get that fixed before you and God, quickly. It can keep you out of heaven. First of all, get saved. Become a Christian. So wait, I am a Christian, but I hate that guy. You can't do that. You can be a Christian and hate that guy to the point where the Holy Spirit says, hey, let's get that fixed now. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Let's work on that. And you know what? God gives you victory over the hatred you have for that guy. See, all of us have hatred inside here, but we've got to deal with it in the Spirit. Are you continually living a life of hating that person? If that's the pattern of your life, the Bible says you don't know God and you're not going to heaven. Say, Pastor, I'm going to knock you out after service. I'm telling you, I didn't write the book. You can punch me out, though, for effect. It'd be a pretty cool thing, you know, for me to preach on in the future. I got knocked out after a service. A friend of mine got his ribs broke after a service. Preached the message. Guy got up, went, was greeting people. And this guy beat the snot out of him. Busted his ribs. The guy said, hey, Pastor Bob, can I talk to you? Yeah, sure, what's up, buddy? And the guy busted his ribs and smashed his face because he told him the truth. If you're going to shoot me, just shoot me right in the middle here in the chest, will you? Don't miss and get my shoulder or something. Get me good. I want to see Jesus, you know. Hatred. Contentions. This is a terrible word. It means always arguing, always in personal wars with people. Everything's got to be a fight. The word means resistance. Resistance to everything. Will you? No. How about no? Can we? No. It's a nice day. Who says it's nice? Contentious.
Well, mine's hormonal.
Could be. Truly, it could be.
Mine's chemical.
Could be. Truly, I'm not making fun. It could be. Go get checked. Seriously, go to a doctor. That's a real problem. I mean, you ladies, you know what I'm talking about. It's a real problem. When the chemicals are messed up or the hormones are messed up, you don't even know, why am I saying these things? Why am I? That's something different. This is just somebody's got a rotten attitude. And they live like that. And you're like, why are you so bitter? Why do you fight with everybody? You don't know the kind of life I've had to live. Oh, give it to God and grow up. You think your life's experience is greater than the Word of God? None of us can boast that. Jealousies. Desiring to take, steal what belongs to somebody else. How come he's got that? Look at him. He's parking it right there. I hope somebody drags a key against it. I wouldn't have gotten that one. What? Look at him. If that's the way you are, you need to become a Christian and get forgiveness of that. We laugh because some of this stuff in some way or another still resides in us, huh? We fight it, huh? No, you don't? I'm confessing for you. It's in all of us. Outburst of wrath. That word means sudden explosive reactions toward others, emotionally controlled. You know, she says, no, don't get away from me. I was just going to, don't even talk to me. Go away, I hate you. Man, but calm down. Just get out of here. Outburst of wrath. Crazy. Emotionally controlled. Everything's an explosion all the time. Oh, but I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but went to breakfast on Monday at Mimi's. My wife and I were sitting down there, and there's this lady there with her kids. And the kids, it was just almost lunch, but you could still smell breakfast in the air. You could smell the syrup. You know what I'm talking about? When you go to a restaurant that's morning, you can tell there's the syrup. And all the little kids, there's a bunch of them. We want pancakes! We want pancakes! They were good kids, though. We want pancakes! And she goes, nope, today we're going to eat healthy. And you could see them, they just went, oh. And I'm watching them. And then I said, Lisa, look at the faces on these kids. They were so excited when they came in. They thought they were going to get a pancake. And she's going, no, he's going to have the wheat on rye and the lean. And the guy's like 6 years old. And he's like, what's happening to me? And it kind of broke my heart. And then they got their snuff and they're just they're dragging their spoon around it. And they're like, they were so quenched. And I felt really bad. I did not enjoy myself that morning. It really bothered me that they were so excited. And then they were dead. And she's going, eat, eat. We don't want to. I'll take you out to the car. She said to them, eat. And I thought, you know what? This is ruining my... So I climbed into their booth. No, I'm kidding. But everything was an argument with her. And, golly, do you have to have a heart? Selfish ambition. This is corporate America. It means climbing over the face of another to put yourself on top. Is that not corporate America? You know what? Isn't it a funny system we have? We teach the guys in college how to do what they just got busted for doing. Corrupt. Selfish ambition. Dissensions, heresies, and envy. Some of your Bibles list it differently. Dissensions, heresies, and envy. Believe it or not, heresies is not false doctrine. Heresies is getting people to gather around you to create a clique or a faction within a church. It's like having a group within a church. God hates it. In fact, he says people who do that, they're going to hell. God, the Spirit, doesn't dwell in them. Interesting, huh? They would fall under the area of a wolf. There's wolves in churches among the sheep. By the way, you say, well, not here, right? Well, I'm personally not aware of any. If you know of any, let me know, honestly. Because as a sheepdog, I'm supposed to respond to those guys. And I'll go bite them. I won't think twice about it. I'll pray on my way, but I'll go bite them. The thing is, I'm supposed to. But wherever there's sheep, you're going to find wolves. Just know it. And the bigger the church gets, the bigger, the higher the probability of a wolf coming into the camp. Friday night, I was speaking up in the mountains and just going up the mountain two times, two coyotes crossing the highway. Why? Because everything else is out running around at night and they're out to eat them. Wolves are among sheep.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Key to Spiritual Victory, Part 2. Thanks for listening and be encouraged. Those who walk in the Holy Spirit will have victory over the lusts of the flesh. The Key to Spiritual Victory, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a false gospel of works. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. It's by Alfred Edersheim. Now, this book is one of the best known and, quite frankly, one of the most important references on the life of Christ that's ever been written. This classic work successfully portrays the streets, the marketplaces, the religious conflicts, the people, and the places that pertain to the earthly ministry of Jesus. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the Book of the Month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California. 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.